From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
Welcome to Defrag Tools. And what are we going to talk about today, Andrew?
We're going to talk about the brother-sister of what we talked about last week, RAMMAP. We're going to talk about VMMAP. So RAMMAP was all about physical memory.
Yeah.
And VMMAP is all about the memory of an individual process. So what we can do is look at, you know, a process, work out how it's carved out. You know, this part's memory I allocated because of a new operation versus this is memory to do with the DLLs and XEs loaded into it, and we can carve it up. And then we can look for memory leaks. Simple as that.
What would you typically use it for?
Memory leaks. Yeah. There's two parts to VMMAP. You can use it as a developer. It's a great development tool to work out where your code's leaking. You can also use it as a developer just to profile your app to go, you know, I'm a bit, you know, bit expensive in this area of this allocation. I do a bit too much of it. I should probably have some type of caching mechanism or something. But then as a support person, you can go, well, this server is running out of physical memory. You see out of virtual memory.
Yeah.
And you go, well, which application is it? You know, you do a quick look at RAMMAP or Process Explorer to look at the numbers. And you go, okay, that's the process. And then we can watch it over time and say, watch this grow and work out what type of memory has been lost. Sometimes you'd use Process Explorer for that, for looking at handles. This is more about straight memory that's lost.
Yeah.
So I suppose we just jump into it.
Let's do it.
Let's see this guy. Standard EULA that every systems tool has. So what you do is you choose an application, I'll go into the launching one next. So I'm just going to choose Explorer because it's like the ubiquitous example. Looks a lot like RAMMAP's interface. You've got the usage bar graphs at the top and then a whole lot of numbers. The concepts that we talked about last week, the thing we talked about last week was all about active memory.
Yeah.
And that is this one, working set. So this is the proportion of this application's memory that is currently in memory. Committed is the amount of memory that this application has said, I need to allocate this. It doesn't mean we're necessarily using it in memory.
Yeah.
It just says, you know, I want to reserve it. So like if you load a DLL, it will reserve the entire 10 meg of DLL. But if you've never gone to help about, that data for that code will never be paged in. So that's what you get a difference between what's called committed and working set. And then the middle is just carving up the way private bytes are done. Much like RAMMAP, there's columns across and columns down. Across, we are looking at all the ways you can slice up the memory into its working set reasons, and it's private working set, shareable working set, so that's where two programs can share the memory. And whether it's committed or reserved or free. So there's three states of memory in an application. Committed means this block of memory has data in it, needs to be backed by the page file or backed by a file. The next one is reserved, where you say, well, I know I'm going to need a buffer this big, but at the moment I don't want to consume RAM, so I'll allocate the first, say, 100 meg out of the gigabyte, and the other 900 meg. That address space is used up, and no, you can't allocate it. But later you can come on and say, okay, turn this from reserved to committed, and that's how like caches grow and stuff like that. And then the last one's free, so that's obviously memory that you haven't touched.
And for shareable memory, where would give me an example like why Explorer would share with another application?
So the most obvious one, and I can see it right here, is under images. If I load a DLL, every process has kernel32.dll in it, right? We don't want to have that DLL consuming physical memory or commit that backs physical memory in every single process. We don't need 50, 100 copies of this, whatever it is, 25 meg, 20 meg DLL, right?
Yeah.
And so what Windows says is that, well, it all comes down to how memory is backed, right? This DLL has these pages in it and it's in memory. Well, if more than one person wants to map that DLL or XE into their process space, they all just share the same block.
Yeah.
And then if you happen to modify it, what happens is instead of using the shared one of that that block, that page, we copy it on the right, and it's called copy on right, and then you get your own private copy. Great. So, and that actually happens when you debug an application. So when you add a breakpoint, you don't want to modify the assembler on the hard drive with putting in the int 3, the breakpoint.
Yeah.
What happens is when you debug it, you get a private copy for that one instance of you, and then the assembler is rewritten by the debugger, and then you hit the breakpoint. That way, all these other programs who have the same DLL mapped, they're not going to hit breakpoints too, right? Because they're not sharing the copy. So shareable images is the most prevalent by far. When you you can also do shareable just purely from private memory point of view. You can say create memory section, and then from programming point of view, do that. And I know that ESC, which is the database engine underneath Exchange, DHCP, Search, tons of things in Windows, that it uses that as a communication mechanism between multiple processes. Down the left-hand side, we have all the ways this is carved up, and obviously these colors of these rows represent the proportions of the graph.
Yeah.
Images is executable, so these are pages which have the ability to have the execute flag turned onto them so that you can execute code from it. Map files is, and you can see down there on how it's filtering down here, MUI and NLS files. NLS files is how I translate my keyboard into text, right? Just the translation of the language, that's called character set for the application. And then MUI files is strings. So if you want to pop up the word help about, well, they're English words. And so we have the code in the DLL that opens up an MUI file and looks up a table for your language, which what the string is that for help about.
Converts it for, yeah.
So, and that means that it happened in Windows Vista, which means the servicing model for Windows is much better because when we have a bug in the code, we fix the .exe or the DLL, but we don't have to release the 26 plus language editions of it. We don't have to compile it 26 times.
Yeah.
We can test it 26 times. We just compile it once. It's called language neutral, and then we pull in the string constant. Shareable, we've kind of talked about. So we've got shareable working set. So all these things can be shared, it's just the reason. Shareable is the one I talked about where you actually deliberately make a shareable section. Heap is the heap. So this is the C++ Visual C heap, right? You get the default heap by default, and then you can make your own heaps. This is where if you do a malloc or a new in C++ language or C language, that's where the memory goes. Every process has heap. If it was a managed application, instead of having heap, you have managed heap.
Yeah.
And what you'll see is their names will be GC0, GC1, GC2, so the three garbage collecting ones in .NET. So if you've got a .NET leak, and this is actually how I identify it a lot, you go, there's a lot of garbage collection thrash, just have a look at this, and you can carve it up and go, well, these, 0 is quite small, that's expected, 1 is quite small, that's expected, 2 is huge, we've got a leak here.
Yeah.
Stack is straight threads, right? Each thread needs memory to back it, so the call stack can grow and shrink. Default size for a stack in most applications is 1 megabyte. This one's got 16 meg allocated, so I would not be surprised if this is not 16 threads. Private data. So when you allocate memory, you can do it two ways. You can allocate it via the heap, which is either managed heap or the native heap, or you can just go to the memory manager, just allocate it. And the function for that is called virtual alloc. So if someone deliberately makes memory explicitly with the memory manager, it goes into private data. Page table is the overhead of remembering what our memory looks like. We have to remember that this block is here, and it's got write protect and all that type of stuff. So that's a small overhead. And then unusable. So because of fragmentation reasons and the way that the OS lays out pages, certain areas cannot be used. It's an artifact of the way the memory manager works. And then the last one is free. So you'll notice that number is
huge.
Huge. Yeah. Well, it's a 64-bit app.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you had, what is that, 8 terabytes? Exabytes. Yeah, I think it's 8 exabytes of RAM. This guy could, or page file to back it.
Yeah.
You could grow to 8 exabytes.
Nice.
So, it's not actually the 64-bit number. So AMD and Intel make CPUs which aren't 64 bits wide because it's pointless, right? Because we're just not going to have whatever that big number is amount of RAM. So that current width is, I always forget what it is, it's like 42, 45, or 46 bits, somewhere around there. And that's the number you're seeing here, is the addressing limit to Windows. And actually, if you look at a 64-bit address, you'll see how they all start with 000. And then if we fly down the bottom, well, you won't see it. If it was a kernel one, you'll see FFF as the first three letters, and that's just the first three bits being padded with all the bits that can't be used. So you always know in a 64-bit Windows, if it hasn't got 000 or FFF on the front, you always know it's a bad pointer because it's just it's not valid. So the display here is static at the moment. So what I can do is press F5, and what that does is it does another snapshot. There's a keystroke, which I don't know why it's not in the menus, but it's not, but it's called Control D, so for differential.
Okay.
And what we can do is between when I started a snapshot when I attached and got the numbers and looked at it now.
Or between F5s.
Or between F5s, yeah. You can see the memory. And so if we look at images, for example, you can see now the delta on all these. So some of these DLL, so for example, workcontcpl.dll, so Windows Error Reporting, the control panel applet, 4K was paged in. Mm-hmm. Right, so you can see the differential. So what you can do is you can take manual snapshots and work out what things are changing. I did this operation in my program. Hey, look, I'm now 20 megabytes worse off.
Yeah.
Right, and I need to free that memory. So that's from a holistic point of view, and we'll go down to the source code point. In the menu, so what we've got here is the address space. This is literally the pointers in the address space that there is. If you click on the total, you'll get the whole lot. Currently, we're in differential mode. Control D to jump back. And we can just see everything that's allocated and from the first 4K block or 40K block and below. Some of these things you can drill down to and get a little bit of information. So, like, for example, let me find one which is nice and juicy. There we are. So this is an executable that's in memory. So we can see that it's an image. It's ASLR backed, which means it's been reordered in memory. We wouldn't ignore the numbers at the moment, but what you can see over here is the way that the memory is protected. Mm-hmm. So when you load a executable, the entire program is mapped in as execute read. So all the strings and everything that's not really code is also executable when you first map it, and then you use memory manager APIs that the loader does this for you, and changes all these subparts, and it reads the header, what's called the PE header, portable executable header, and works out the layout. And then you can say, well, here's the header, we read it, and we change it to read, because there's no reason to write to that, and there's no reason to execute from that. The next one, .text, which I've always thought should be called .code, but it's actually the assembler. So not unexpectedly, this is the only thing in the image that's execute and read. R data, P data, and data, and there's also another one called BSS. They are all strings. That's your global variables.
Yeah.
And so you actually can see that, see how it says copy on write? That's a global variable that we've loaded in, and there's a variable called g underscore foo, but nobody's written to it yet. We've just read from it. The first time that page is written to, so you might say foo plus equals one, we go, we don't want to modify the executable on disk. The copy on write attribute will copy it, as I said before, like the breakpoint, and then you'll get your private copy. So you can work out how many of your global variables are read-write rather than read.
Yeah.
The reason why you have R data, P data, and data is it's all based on what operating system, chip you have. So, x86, x64. I think there's one called B data, which I think is Itanium from memory. And the last one you see a lot is resource, which is the resource files. This is your string table. So, this is where you get your copyright information, your company name, and description, and stuff like that. So, once again, you expect that to be read. So why do you care about that particular, why did I bother drilling down into that little image part? It's all about viruses and manipulation. So if someone has come along and decided, I'm going to hook into your program and rewrite it, right, you can tell here because the attributes don't line up to what you expect. You'll see that it's a rewrite page or something like that, and that just shouldn't exist. Particularly if you see a page that is execute read but not backed by the image anymore, you go, well, someone's injected this code into my process and rewritten it. So it's kind of like a little malware tool. As you can see, there's just lots and lots of these. The numbers in the middle are just what proportion of these pages are anywhere. So it's kind of very similar to the way RAM maps. You can get the same information out of RAM map if you drilled in hard enough. From a per process point of view, this is obviously much easier, much cleaner.
Yeah.
So let's do a quick run through the menus. Select process is how you chose a process and also launched it. You can save these files. You can save them as CSV. This tool actually is used a lot by dev teams at Microsoft to do performance runs and work out statistics. Run as administrator so you can look at elevated processes, you know, copies and finds. Strings, so like if you're trying to work out some bit of malware research, for example, you can go, well, these are all the strings in my address space. And so, I don't know, let's find something that's kind of interesting. Yeah, I know. So, you know, if you're looking for Quidjibo, right, yeah. There's the address in memory, right? And what you could do is you could take a dump file of this process right now, copy that address, bring it up in the debugger, and then have a look at it in the debugger so you'd know, you know, where to look. Fragmentation view. So you'll notice that this isn't available in 32-bit. So what I'm going to do is choose a 32-bit process. And I think this USB guy is 32-bit. So when you have 32-bit, you're limited to the 4 gig address space at max. If you have what's called large address space aware, most programs are not large address space aware, so their limit is 2 gigabytes. Mm-hmm. So once they hit 2 gig, they're done. And what we have here is, that's a very good view, it's a bit zoomed in. So you can see all the blocks. And all these white sections are the gaps. Now, it was all very white at the bottom because this address space has 2 gig of contiguous space at the bottom.
Too. Yeah.
So, but if you're having a fragmentation issue, so let's say that a program's saying that it's got 1.2 gig of commit, and it says out of memory. You go, well, there's 800 megabytes left. Why? Well, it was probably fragmented to the hilt, and the biggest block was, say, 64K, and you tried allocating a meg. Well, you know, a 1 meg block doesn't fit in a 64K hole. And that's where you get it. So if you're having out-of-memory issues with a process, have a look at its fragmentation. Obviously, as I said, it only applies to 32-bit because 64-bit just has so much space that you're never going to get that problem. Much like with RAMMAP, you can empty the working set. So if you want to reset the program and say, let's make it as if nobody has run this before, just take it out of the file cache, empty the working set, pushes all those pages out, and then when you run the scenario again, you will page in all these files and get the real performance metric of how long it starts. And refresh, as I said, is your differential. So I'm going to press F5 and wait a couple of seconds, and then press F5 again and wait a couple of seconds. And there's this button down here called Timeline. And if I hover over this graph, each of these black bars is a point where we have a snapshot. So there's one there, and there's one there, and there's one at the end. Right, and so you can do a differential between two points. So like I chose between there and there, and it'll show you the diff between those two points. And if I do the whole graph at the moment, it'll be from the start to the finish. So that's kind of a, you know, a quick way of doing differentials.
Yeah.
What we can do is a complete timeline and trace a program, and I'll do that in a sec when I finish the menus. Options, whether you want to see the free or not down the bottom. So by default, the frees are missing in it, so you don't see all these white spaces.
Yeah.
I have that turned on myself because I think if you're looking at memory,
you're not looking for white space.
Well, yeah. No, you are looking for white space. You're looking for why it's all fragmented.
Yeah.
So I do tend to have it turned on. When you're actually tracing, which is what we're about to do, how often you get a sample, so yeah. Every seconds. Fonts, obviously, and symbols. So once again, because we have the environment variable set up, symbols are auto-populated. Mm-hmm. This is one of the tools that doesn't default to the magical Microsoft default. So what I'm going to do is press OK, and this is going to say failed. So you remember how in the first episode I said you have to install the debugger twice?
Mm-hmm.
You can only debug a 64-bit program with a 64-bit debugger with a 64-bit dbghelp.dll.
Yeah.
This is a 32-bit process, so I have to use the 32-bit version, which is why I have it twice on the hard drive. VMAP from memory actually will store both, because it stores the x86 configuration in the WAL64 node of the registry, and it stores the 64-bit one in the 64-bit one. So you actually can set, if you set it once for both, at some point in time, you'll have it permanently configured.
Yeah.
And so why do you have symbols? So what you can do, and we'll do this in a sec, is look at all the way down, look at the stacks, look at the source code, and then help. Actually, we'll do it right now. So what I've done is wrote a little program, which is not very stable and it's a bit naughty. Has to be the debug one because you need to have symbols for it. So this is definitely, as I said, a developer type thing. And what this does, this program, I need to Oh, no. I made a mistake. I forgot to give myself the debug Visual C runtime on this laptop. But I can still show you how far you can go. So what this does is just does a current directory, right? Mm-hmm. And it just says, what's my current directory? And puts it out on the screen every second. Best application in the world, right?
Nice, very nice.
You know,
how long did that take you?
4 years of uni did that. So that's profiling away. So also running away. So that's, instead of just letting it run and attaching, what we can do is launch it. And so what's happening now is there's a subsystem that Microsoft has called Detours. And Detours is a licensable thing from Microsoft which allows you to inject code into a process. All right, so it's a formalized, researched way of making sure that you can change the way the code is written. And what we do, what VMAP does, is it rewrites all of the heap and memory allocation routines so that when that executes, it invokes VMAP. We record the operation and then let it go through. So you'll notice that now that we've got some buttons down here which aren't gray anymore. So much like before, we had the timeline, and you can see now it's slowly growing. And I'll press pause. And you can see how it's not linear, mm-hmm. right? Well, I can tell you there's a memory leak every time that current directory happens, right? You get this spike because it's using the heap. What happens is a heap allocates a big block of memory in the megs normally, and then once it's allocated, you fill up inside the heap. It saves you from thrashing the memory manager saying, give me something. It's also more optimal because the smallest granularity in Windows is a 4K allocation, and if you're trying to do all these 20-byte ones, you don't want to have 3,980 bytes of waste. So that's what these spikes are. It's a heap one, but there's a leak the entire time. And if I put my mouse on now, you can see all these black bars at the bottom. It's all the sample points. So highlight that area and press OK. Then in here, we now have the differential. Right? And as we can see, we have a 64K heap that got made. And then we can see the allocations. And so this area was previously reserved. It was 832K. We changed that into 768K and of reserved. So 64K got taken off, and 64K got committed, and the attribute was set to read-write, right? And we can see this is in the low fragmentation heap. So once we, I don't know if it's going to work with the release build. Pause. I'm going to get this fixed. All right, technical glitch fixed. I was missing the debug runtime for Visual C, so I had to jump across to my dev box, copy the DLLs down, and make it all work. So
it was almost seamless.
It was.
For the viewer.
Just don't look at the clock.
Yeah.
On the, so this is now tracing the debug version. And the whole point of this is so we can see differentials. Once again, we've got the timeline going. And we're seeing a slow growth at the top. We're going to let this grow for a little while. Grow. And then I'm going to press pause. And then I'm going to grab an area. And we have a big section done. And then under here, there's heap allocations. Oh, it's not going to do it to me. I always get the wrong one. There we go. So you have to choose the heap that still exists, not the differentials. I always get that wrong. And so what there is there's things called call sites, which is just a numerical ordering of where VMAP has discovered a memory operation. And you can see here, there's a whole lot of call site 29 did a whole lot of small ones. Then 84 did a whole lot. And then what we can do is click on this guy and get the stack. And you remember how I said we had to give the stack variables? And so you'll notice that Defrag Tools, the program I wrote, isn't resolving, and our Visual C runtime isn't on the symbol server, but the Windows ones are. So what we need to do is add that to the symbol path, because the PDB file, and I'm just going to go in here because I know it's the same folder. Add that to the symbol path. I'm just going to put it on here, semicolon, and then paste that on. It's going to be like that. You know what I did? I pressed function instead of pressing control. Let's try that again.
Well, it's not your laptop, yeah, so it's not my laptop. Blame you this time.
My laptop died, and I'm sad. It was my favorite laptop, and it died. Why doesn't copy-paste work? It's demo jinx today. I've had a good run, so I can't complain. There we go. So now, actually, and the other thing is source code as well, if you happen to have it. In this case, I do have the source code, and it's in this folder. So now when we look at the heap allocations, and we'll choose one of these, you'll see it will resolve, right?
Nice.
And let's see if we can find, let's have a look at that timeline again, undo the pause. And you can see we've got that massive growth over time. All right. So what I was looking for is a consistent heap allocation. So this call site is 86, you know, call site 86, mm-hmm. and it's allocating this 2K-ish buffer. And so what we can do is double-click on one of those and see the code. And you can see here's my win main and then a new operator. So this is the transition between my code and the Visual C runtime. And if I double-click that and go source, because I specified the source, you actually get the source code.
Very nice.
And so it always tends to be one line above yeah. where it is. I don't know, I just don't understand why, but it's what the symbol says. So anyway, look at the line below it.
Yeah.
And there's the new. And if you look at this code, it's quite obvious that I never did a delete. So you can, if you're a developer and you have the source code, you can drill all the way down to that one particular thing. So what you could do is export the allocations and then look for consistently big ones and think, okay, well, let's go fix that memory leak. And
cool.
So that's RAM map. The other thing that you've got available is Cool Tree, where you can just go down the entire, not RAM map, it's VM map. You can go down through every single function and work out where every single allocation is. And mm-hmm. And it's just a powerful tool. So if you're having memory leaks, if you're having just thrash on the hard drive, you're trying to work out what type of pages have been pulled in, whether it's data or of DLLs, it's a tool just to delve into an application and let's just get a good idea of how a program's laid out.
Yeah. So, yeah. Nice. And that's it for VMMap.
It is it for VMMap.
Excellent. And if you have any questions, you can leave them in the show comments or you can write us at defragtools@microsoft.com. Happy to answer any questions you have. See you next week.
Have a good week.